brother-in-law and children give me the same deal for something like that.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council, the Special Planning Committee, the first item at least is. My name is Brendan McKeown, and I'll be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we do start. If you have a mobile phone, please switch it to silence or switch it off. And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? If there is any disruption, you may be asked to leave the room. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I have an officer from the Law and Governance Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 10 minutes, and I will indicate when you have used up 9 of them. Ward members are entitled also to speak for 10 minutes. An audio recording has been taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as that enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. So we move on to the agenda, and we have minutes of the previous meeting, the 18th of March. Everyone have you already signed that one?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Who's got a second that one? Okay, oh, got a second and a third. Right, any declarations of member interest or lobbying?
Lobbying on the
first
one.
Yeah. Okay, if you heard that, can you put your microphones on when you speak? So I've also been received an email on behalf of Hopton and Coton Parish Council, largely making historical points which do not necessarily impact on your decision making tonight on the first item on the agenda. Okay, so we go to the first planning application. It begins on page 5, application number 22/36918 OUT, land off Salmon Road and MOD Foresight Beacon Sign, Stafford. Ed Handley is going to present this one.
Thank you. This application is for outline consent for up to 420 dwellings and supporting infrastructure. All matters are reserved save for means of access to the site. The application was deferred by the committee in March 2025 for the following reasons. For further information from the Highland Authority relating to transport assessment for more than 70 vehicles and for more than 120 units, and for a further BMG assessment to be carried out. Since that meeting, the applicant has provided a BMG addendum and a transport technical note in response, and the salient points within these documents are summarised within the officer's report. The BMG assessment provides the baseline figure and the proposed level of enhancement in accordance with the MPDF. The application was submitted in 2022, and it is not subject to the mandatory BMG condition to secure a 10% enhancement. Access would be from four-arm roundabout on Beacon Side, which would also serve the Tollgate Industrial Estate and a ghost island priority junction off of Salmon Road. Since the agenda was published, we've received 6 representations. The representation from the Highway Authority is summarised as follows. The access from Salmon Road is the same as that approved under 14/20816/AUT for 120 dwellings. And the Highway Authority is satisfied that the access could accommodate 120 dwellings. Based on modelling, the proposed site access off Beacon Side will operate within capacity and improve congestion issues on Tollgate Drive. A roundabout at the junction of Beacon Side and Sandon Lane has been approved under a separate application and could be constructed without further planning permission. The construction of the larger roundabout could have some impact on the surrounding habitat. However, all necessary measures would be taken to avoid unnecessary harm, and landscaping and habitat could be reinstated following construction. The roundabout may be reduced in size when a detailed design is finalised. However, as a it stands, the larger roundabout could be built whilst allowing mostly free flow of traffic from Beaconside and Sandon Lane. Hopton and Clayton Parish Council raise objection. They make the following summarised points. The subsequent reserve matters application, if approved, should reflect the expectation of public production of open space and associated infrastructure. And comment is made regarding the Council's stance not to adopt public open space, as the Chairman has just referred. However, it is not considered that this has any material impact on whether or not the scheme is policy compliant. Four letters of objection have been received from neighbours, and these are summarised as follows. A statement made that a comment made by Councillor Cross at the previous committee was incorrect, and that nearby convoys have been seen entering the application site. The site is reliant upon other development sites for facilities and would place further strain on local facilities and services. Hopton and Clayton Parish area should benefit from improved facilities secured by a 106 agreement. The development should provide a 10% BNG enhancement as best practice. The development would be managed by a private company rather than being adopted by the council, and the development would not be sustainable or promote inclusion. Onto the presentation on the two screens. This remains as it was in March, with an additional two slides. These set out the highways consideration. So the plan and aerial view show the location of the site, the Beaconside Road to the south, Sandon Road to the east, the northern element is the MOD site, and the southern triangle the agricultural land. The four photographs I will show you taken from outside of the site, from the south and east, in locations similar to those that the committee visited in March. The first, the MOD buildings, with vehicle access to the rear. Second is the larger MOD buildings from the northeast corner of the site. Third, a view northeast from the edge of Tolgate Industrial Estate. Houses off Sandon Road are visible in the background. And the fourth, a view northwest from the edge of Tolgate Industrial Estate. The MOD buildings in the background on the right hand side. Plan one, again, these are as per the previous presentation. This is the building height and density parameter plan. Two is the green and blue infrastructure parameter plan. Plan 3 is the land use parameter plan. Plan 4 is the movement parameter plan. Plan 5 shows the proposed ghost island priority junction off Sandon Road. And Plan 6 shows the proposed 4R roundabout to serve the application site and Tolgate Industrial Estates. Slides 1 and 2 are included as they show extracts from the transport technical note. These clarify that whilst the applicant's initial assumption was that up to 70 dwellings would utilise the Sandon Road access, the modelling demonstrates that it would operate within capacity for up to 120 dwellings. With regard to the recommendation, condition 19 should be revised to resolve a typographical error to refer to drawing version PA5 rather than PA3. This is set out in the report. The recommendations the committee resolved to delegate authority to the Head of Economic Development and Planning to approve the application, subject to the higher authority confirming the area of land and the financial sum required as a contribution towards a new roundabout at Beaconside and Sandon Road Junction, in accordance with the conditions set out in the published agenda and amendment to condition 19, and to the applicant entering into a 106 agreement as also set out in the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you very much. I believe we have a speaker in objection, and it's Ian Roscoe. As you are aware, we have 10 minutes.
I am.
And if you get to 9 minutes, we'll let you know.
Stafford and don't care One thing good that is, I've never put a spade in the ground and never will. If you pass this application, the site will be sold off and you will have multitudes of revisions to sort out. This site and site 4 are not in the SDL and never have been. Now this afternoon, I have a good question. How long does an applicant have before permission lapses? Now, the permission was given from an article, an application in 2014, and it was granted in 2017. 8 years passed, nothing happened. So, unless your permission says otherwise, you have 3 years from the date it's granted to begin the development. If you haven't started work by then, you will probably need to reapply or apply to extend the permission before it expires. Can anyone on planning prove that the applicant had reapplied or applied to have it extended? Highways from 2024. This proposal development is reliant on facilities being provided by neighbouring developments as part of the SDL. This also includes connectivity to the adjoining site facilities. At this stage, there has been no full detailed proposal to develop the neighbouring site brought forward. And indeed, at this stage, there is reservation over any delivery coming forward or in a timescale that is suitable to provide these much-needed facilities, shops, schools, employment, etc., doctors, you name it, all the lot. There will be no facilities within 10-minute walk for an unknown period of time. Our walking guidance, this is from Homes England, by the way, our walking guidance comes from various documents, in particular the National Design Guide, which was published post the triangle land of 120 dwellings on the southern part of the site, and even Homes England Streets for Healthy Life, along the design of individual streets. We also need to consider that the wider movement of network ensures that property, people's daily needs are close enough and well connected so they can be met within short, safe and pleasant walk or cycle. Provision of high quality connective streets and paths, that may be happening now, which make the walking and cycling routes as direct, as safe as convenient as possible, while managing movements for motor vehicles. I want to know now how Staffordshire County Council can the rep answer this. This application should be refused. This was refused for the following reasons. The proposals failed to demonstrate how or when the site can be assessed by sustainable travel, and as a consequence, what? Increase the likelihood of pedestrian vehicle conflict resulting in increased highway danger. As a result, there is a significant likelihood that users of this development will be reliant on private cars as a means of travel. The proposals fail to provide sufficient information to allow an informed decision to be made. The plans fail to make any answers to be made. Can I wait? Provide answers why a contribution to a bigger roundabout is the answer to any of the questions they refused to answer before. Schools, nearest primary school, John Wheelman, only one. That's if you've got on that site there now. If you was our children, John Wheelman were the nearest one. High schools, Western Road. Graham Balfour thought, could not even get our grandson in, and he was at Parkside from nursery until 11 years, and now has to go to King Edward's. Doctors, non-planned, 4 miles to the nearest. Shops, non-planned, 2 miles to the nearest. In connectivity with other sites, none agreed. Hospitals, 8 to 10. Is this a kind of service you can agree to? Well, it's possible 8 to 10,000 extra people will be living west of Beacon site when all this lot's finished. Flooding on Sandon Road from all the new houses west of Beacon site. All the water from these sites going to Sandon Brook. Once it leaves the site, how can you say that the poor souls on that stretch of road will not suffer, as no one will take responsibility for it, including SCC, SBC, Environment Agent? There should be no more building north of Beaconside until all the three of them have looked into why and get results to stop this multi-flood event happening every year. The development causes a problem, they should pay for sorting the problem out instead of using cost against benefit. That's the Environment Agency's get out. It's their water and it comes off the roof. As for the entrance on the B5066, I've said at the last meeting, there have been 247 accidents there. I want to know why these pictures haven't been put on the portal, because they were put on the portal and they're on there now, and I wish that the people here can look at them and see what accidents happened. The revised width of the road is not enough if two large Arctics, and there are many per day, Stan Robinson, all the other ones up there, if you try and get out of that little tiny road onto Sandon Road there, you're going to get squashed. I'll tell you that now. Once this accident's happened, the road can be blocked for hours with police, ambulances, recovery vehicles. I have lived at our cottage for 38 years, so I have a greater knowledge of traffic on Sandon Road than anyone on this committee. I have reservations about the roundabout on Beacon Side, and will be having meetings with transport operators to show the photo on the portal, which I've got there as well. When turning right with a 44-ton Arctic, a long one now these are, from Sandon, they will be taking all four lanes of the roundabout. How can that be right if they can turn right, give way to traffic, even if they can give way to traffic from the right, always is a usual thing. All leads to backlogs on Beacon Side and Sandon Road. And I wish these to be passed round to show the committee the accidents that have happened on there. It's on the portal, it should be in their files.
Have you finished? Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Roscoe. Thank you. That's well done. Sorry. I'll repeat that. Thank you, Mr. Roscoe. Well timed. We have a speaker in support of the application, Laura Tilson. Laura, you have 10 minutes as well, and we'll let you know when you've used 9 of them. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Laura Tilson. I'm Senior Planning and Labelling Manager at Homes England. Homes England is seeking out land plan permission for up to 420 new homes with supporting infrastructure, which is to be located on the former MOD Stafford Foresight and southern parcel of vacated land, which lie to the north of Stafford. The planning application was originally considered by the Special Planning Committee on the 18th March, and division was deferred pending further information requested by committee members in relation to highways and biodiversity net gains. As your case officer has mentioned, we submitted addendum notes addressing those two matters, and they confirm the following. With regards to the highway matter, further information was requested in relation to further consideration of the site access junctions, and in particular whether the Sandon Road junction could accommodate the traffic movements of up to 120 dwellings, and clarification with regards to the additional evidence that has been provided to overcome the initial concerns of the County Council highway officers. The Highway Addendum Note confirms that the transport assessment submitted with the application presented detailed junction modelling using trip rates which were requested by and agreed with the County Council officers, Highway officers. And with regards to the proposed site access junctions, it confirmed that the proposed Sandon Road access can accommodate 120 units, dwellings, and it also approved that the approved plans and the draft planning condition number 20 will prevent the Sandon Road site access being used for more than 120 dwellings. The proposed Beacon Side roundabout site access will operate within capacity and will improve congestion issues on Tollgate Drive. County Council Highway officers have commented on this addendum note, confirming that they are in agreement with the points raised, including that they are satisfied that the Sandon Road site access can accommodate that number of dwellings and that all legs of the proposed Beacon Side access will operate within capacity. With regard to biodiversity net gain, further clarification was sought in relation to whether the increased land take of the proposed 55 metre roundabout being delivered by the County Council would have any implications on the outcome of the biodiversity net gain. The addendum note confirms that in order to achieve a 1% gain, a total area of 9.52 area based habitat biodiversity units would be required, either on or off site, and that is what we have agreed within the application to provide. and we provide an updated biodiversity net gain assessment, and that will be a further one will be submitted at the reserve matter stage. This will detail the mechanisms for securing these additional 9.52 area-based biodiversity units. And that the planned on-site hedgerow and the river habitat creation is predicted to deliver a 1% gain for both modules. The case officer has confirmed this is acceptable in the context of the National Planning Policy Framework requirement that development secures an undefined net gain for biodiversity. In summary, the application is recommended for approval by the case officer. The principle of the development on the site has been accepted and confirmed, and all matters raised by committee members on the 18th of March Special Planning Committee have been addressed to the officer's satisfaction. As stated at the Special Planning Committee meeting, the site is considered to be in a sustainable location within the settlement of Stafford, where residential development is supported. The proposals would contribute to the borough's housing supply and would accord with the presumption in favour of sustainable development as set out in the NPPF. We therefore consider there is a compelling case for the proposed sustainable development. There are no overriding adverse impacts that would outweigh the potential benefits of granting our land planning permission. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. If you could go back to your seat. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you. Do you want to start with highways?
Sure.
No, it wasn't. Okay, to respond to anything that's been said there.
Yeah, can you chair, yes, thank you. Okay, can I bring in? Okay. In terms of the application, as you all know, it's located in very close proximity to the existing Stafford North SDR. And a lot of the transport route was used to support your local plan in terms of housing development was used again in terms of relation to this application. So, for instance, the trip rates, the trip generation, the distribution, etc., was all the same as it would have been for the determination of the other two applications for the SDR. So we have no problems with how that's been derived in terms of and how the conclusion comes about that the site will have, by the time they put the relevant highway infrastructure in, the impact from the development would be minimal, not minimal, sorry, would be acceptable to the highway authority in terms of both severity and the actual access itself in terms of sustainability. So as part of the application, the wider SDR is providing various facilities. We've got a primary school that's already been built on the existing site, and as part of the ongoing Maximus site, we're looking at providing a primary school and high school in the one building and all through school on the one site. So in terms of access to those facilities, once the SDR is developed, that's we'll have sustainable access to various facilities such as schools, shops, etc., to make sure that the site can be accessible. As part of the other ongoing developments for the two SDRs, there's been numerous money already received and further money to come to further enhance various highway aspects of it. So there's various works to be done on Beacon Side that will be done incrementally as part of the SDR goes up to in terms of widening the Beacon Side, etc. The provision of a link road that will link up the main two SDR sites. So that will allow us to provide bus services through to the sites as the sites get developed. And that will include 106 money, which will enable frequent bus services to be provided that will run through the site to the town centre and the train station, so giving anybody who will live on the SDR access. The site itself that we're talking about today, the MOD site 4, will be tapping in and using those facilities as and when they come online. It will be incremental as they develop, but that's with most developments, it's when we do provide them services. Just what the gentleman was saying in terms about school and stuff, we are looking to provide that deal through school it's within the next 3 years, I think it should be. We should be having some additional education facilities being provided
put on four loan site. So obviously part of the site, they'll be integrated into the highway network with a provision of footways, footway crossings, facilities for pedestrians such as a push port to get across, Beacon Side, but there'll also be a footway provision that will go alongside the road that will then take you into the existing, what we call the maximum site, which is part of the SDL. And just as the background to that, the footways on the standing road are due to be improved. Work should be starting later in the summer to widen the footways along standing road as part of the maximum work, which is the Bull Road side now. That work is due to commence later in this summer. So we will be seeing a provision. And as part of this site, there's also a condition on the site that they will provide a footway, cycleway over the site frontage, so that will continue the theme of being able to access facilities throughout the SDR via foot and cycle. So there is a lot going on. It will be incremental as it's coming along. There's various conditions on the existing sort of SDL sites and when those facilities will go on. Certain aspects of it in terms of the roundabout for that Southern Road, Beacon Side roundabout to be provided as part of the maximum site. They already have a condition on them to provide a smaller roundabout, and they are trying to resolve that now, and they've made a submission to try and build that. What we've sort of tried to park it to one side, to be perfectly honest, and sort of delay it a bit so we can go forward and get some land, an additional land there, so we can provide a large roundabout that means we don't have to come back at a future time and make things a bit more future proof. So hopefully, if things all align, we can get a larger roundabout and it will serve the what was the original 125 houses plus the additional MOD site for which a lot of the transport planning work was already, because Homes England sort of against, before even the application was made, that a lot of the modelling work did include this site, so the counting of the traffic has already been assessed as part of the transport modelling. So in terms of the applicants as well, the transport assessment has been submitted with a detail in terms of the road traffic accidents and how we can and how we have to legally assess them. I know John's got pictures and everything else, but we can only assess the applications that come through that have been assessed by the police. And there is a set criteria for that in terms of the grading of them, in terms of slight, serious and fatal. And we as the road safety authority, we have to legally investigate every accident. And at the moment there is no cluster, what we call cluster accidents, that would lead us to take further action to identify any issues and take the mediation to resolve any highway safety issues. I think that's probably most of what the transport assessment covers. So it covers traffic, both sustainable in terms of cycling, walking, roads, vehicles themselves, and then also it's various requirements for the site to tap into what's already there and actually build on what's already there in terms of the site itself.
Thanks, Simon. What's the blockage in terms of the two different sizes of the roundabout? I know you would prefer the larger one.
I suppose our engineer, we try and lawfully, the existing SDL has got permission to build a smaller roundabout. We've done the works and everything else in terms of the assessment for this site was done on us attaining the original land that we had from the original 2014 application, which allowed us to build a larger roundabout that built a bit more capacity in terms of future growth along there. The option of having the land, it's come about, is between the engineers now, they part of the design is will allow that roundabout in terms of the land we take, if we do take. Would allow that roundabout as well to be built offline, which means there'd be less disruption on Beacon Side and Sandon Road. We could build the majority of that in the bottom corner of that field, and that means when we eventually come to do it, it'd be minimal in terms of transport disruption along the network, because part of that roundabout we built, and we can easily dive it onto that and complete the roundabout. It is, at the moment, it is because we haven't gone into a detailed design of that roundabout, so we do sort of ask for the most land we could have available to build it. Speaking to the engineers, I think once we get to that detailed design, the belief is that land take will probably shrink and we'll see a better design, but because we haven't gone through the details in terms of the levels of the site and everything else, we just sort of drawn a large roundabout at the moment that we know would work. The likelihood is, I think, it would probably shrink.
Is there a reluctance by Homes England to provide that extra land?
I don't know, to be perfectly honest. So I think Ed's got some information on it.
So I had an email from Homes England this week. They have requested some further information based on the timings of construction of the roundabout and the size and boundaries of the non-permanent land take. So it's land that requires the working area to be returned once the roundabout's built. So obviously that may well change when there's a detailed design drawn up. So without knowing the details, it's very difficult to say, yes, exactly, this is acceptable. There is, my understanding is that in principle, yes, but subject to the exact timings and dimensions, both the permanent land take and the non-permanent land take.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Scott Spencer.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, in regards to that, and in regards specifically to the BNG, I'm struggling to understand how this BNG assessment can be fully conducted showing 1% if the area of land take is still not known, as just illustrated here. That's with the, I presume, the 55 metre roundabout. 55 metres, is that the one highway's biggest one you're going for?
Yeah, okay. That's the largest.
And then we've got the other roundabout, which is...
just to confuse you, these three, the original consented for the SDR, which is 31, 33 metres.
31, yep.
The modelling that we've done under this one is a 41, 42 metre roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the 55.
So we've got 55, which is at the bottom corner. Then we've got another roundabout, which is halfway along the southern boundary. Do you know the diameter of that?
I can find it. It'll be on the information.
Is it likely to be? I imagine it's going to be similar size.
I think you might, if you could just go back to one of the plans. So it's mainly, if you look at that plan, that the actual access itself that's into the existing industrial estate is pretty much on a like for like scenario. Mm-hmm. If you look, it's actually probably a bit less land than what's there now.
And you say you
so it's the only land that's sort of taken. So if you look where the red line is, so it's
that.
Just the third arm. So
what you mentioned in your just statement that you would like to maybe offset that roundabout to minimise the impact to the existing
business. No, the roundabout we're offsetting would be the sand road.
Exactly.
Yeah. So all that basically, as we look at the red line there, it's just the fourth arm. So because that's such a, it's quite a large giveaway at the moment into that industrial estate. So there's minimal land take off what is the existing highway, and then there's the actual bit into the side.
So, just sorry, Chair, if I can continue briefly. So, point 1.6, page 7, with regards to BNG, it says it's been recalculated with the roundabout, not the roundabout, the roundabout. So, I'm still struggling to see how the 1% is minimal as it is, it's barely meeting it, and it's only discussing one roundabout, not the secondary roundabout, which again is taking more land from the existing application, I imagine. So, there doesn't seem to be any reassessment at all on what we requested, other than the table's now been provided and it seems to be given over to the county council, or is the county council's problem to deal with this? And with, just as a wider point, in the sort of where we are with this 10% net gain coming in, for developers such as Homes England to come with an application like this on an application which is, the site is what, 60% industrial, and to only just meet 1% BMG to me is very concerning and doesn't illustrate sustainability whatsoever, but that's by the by. But what I would like to know, sorry Chair, is has the second roundabout been taken into consideration on the BMG?
Dead?
The original BMG assessment was based on the proposed development, so that includes everything within the Red Edge, including the roundabout that would serve Tolgate Industrial Estate. The issue that was raised at the previous committee was, I believe, the uncertainty based on the Salmon Road, the inside roundabout, where there's the uncertainty on the site.
Mm-hmm.
So the information that's been submitted since that meeting is a revised or an addendum to the BMG report that's taken into account the maximum land take for the larger roundabout. So the other one's already been taken into account.
Right.
So the way that the assessment works is that there is a baseline survey of the site. So this sets out the number of units, BMG units on the site, as it is now. It then sets out the post intervention units, which is what the site would look like post development, and then sets out the change required, or the net change in terms of the difference between the baseline and the post intervention. So that then clarifies what is required to achieve any specific enhancement.
Indeed.
So the 10% BMG enhancement, the mandatory condition, isn't relevant to this application. It's not required by policy. What the policy requires is that the development secures an undefined net gain for biodiversity. So if you have the baseline and the post-intervention figures, you can then work out what number of habitat units are required to achieve any specific enhancement. So in this case, a 1% enhancement is proposed, and in order to achieve that, 9.25 habitat units would be required.
Yes. Possible. It's noted that these 9.52, we're losing habitat units, I see 9.52. These could be secured by on-site or off-site. Could we condition that these are purely on-site rather than put to somewhere else and do it with part of the country?
I've got nodding heads, or shaking heads.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to raise any points? Thank you, Andy.
I'd just like to make two points. The first one is that it's a brownfield site, and we always want to use those up first before we sort of use any virgin ground, so I think that's important. And I understand why people object to, you know, violent then, maybe I would be unhappy. But it's a matter of balance. We've got a housing crisis at the moment, and I think because of that, the need to alleviate that housing crisis overweight any sort of blank court objection in that respect. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Peter Jones.
There's a lot of talk about developments going on at the moment, and a lot of them, they don't happen overnight, they happen over years. We've got a development being considered, not an application, but just people talking about it. It could take 10 years in Ecclesfield. And the things that they're suggesting as a sort of a involved in building houses, are the things, as the gentleman mentioned in their talk, may happen or will happen or could happen. And it sounds a bit like, as the gentleman from the county council, it sounds a bit like jam tomorrow, sort of. And you don't know these things are going to happen, especially in the times of the reorganisation of the local government. I don't know who's going to be here in a couple of years' time. But you can understand the gentleman from a little bit concerned what the county council man is saying, it all sounds fine and it sounds wonderful. But they've got these matters in hand and everything will be covered and the application will be done, the houses will be built and the schools will be there and the roads will be done, so on and so forth. Just, I'm not making any point except that who knows what's going to happen. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Peter. Councillor Brian Cross.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I have concerns about the flooding, the objective mentioned. But I noticed on page 11 in the conditions, this more or less covers every problem that could be foreseen, and I think it's covered by conditional. It's on page 11 and 12, so it does alleviate, in my mind, the concerns for flooding further downstream. What you may have when the other 3,500 houses that goes up Beaconside between Marston Lane and Forsbank, of course, that's a different ball game. But that's something in the future, isn't it? Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Brian,
anyone else speak? Councillor Scott Spencer.
Just quickly, obviously this is with reserve matters to follow. Do we know when that's looking to sort of take place? So this application, is this just sort of, it's to presumably just to gain that permission to potentially develop? Should this take a long drawn out process, could this be reviewed with the, going back to BNG apologies, with regards to that, or would it be set now at this 1%?
The 1% would be set. The time limit condition provide 3 years for an application for the agreement of reserve matters to be submitted to the local planning authority. If and then following any agreement of that, another 2 years for development to be commenced. If either of those triggers were met, another hour application to be submitted at that point, provided everything is the same, the mandatory BNG condition would kick in. There is no scope to extend the permission these days.
Thanks, Ed. Unless anyone has any more words. Obviously, what the decision here is purely on access. Not a great fan of this type of application, I have to say. It's a bit like approving the front door and not knowing what the rest of the house is going to look like. But it is what it is before us. And someone or all of us need to make a decision of some kind. Anyone want to make a proposition? Andy McMahon.
Yeah, I propose we pass it.
Okay. Anyone second? Councillor Tony Nixon seconded it. So we are going to. Sorry, Ed, did you want to speak?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, we've been seconded.
No, it's up to it.
No, it's up to it. Yeah, okay. What page are you on?
Page 12.
Condition 19 and page 12. No dwelling house access from the A513 shall be occupied unless and until the new access from the A513 and the associated toucan crossing have been provided in accordance with details. And there's a change to the reference norm number of the drawing, P05, not P03. Yes, you're proposing to approve and second with that amendment on page 12 as the reference of the drawing.
Am I too late to ask you a similar final question?
I'll ask the legal. Okay, I'm sure it will be worthwhile, so we'll listen to it.
I hope so. South Exeter Junction 1.9, page 7, states 120 dwellings, no one prevents Exeter access. Sandy Grove Junction is roundabout, the roundabout has been designed specifically for that. But then, and I know this is where we're in sticky waters, there are additional developments taking place outside this that we know of that will obviously impact this junction. Is the capacity within this roundabout to accept any further vehicle movements?
In terms of further movements, do you...
Additional.
Yeah, in terms of the MOD size, to me. I mean, that's what's going to be modelled. They modelled a larger roundabout. I think that was based on the original 120 hours of the 2014 application, was given up land as well to accommodate a larger roundabout. So, there you go. If you're going again to a larger scale roundabout, you would by nature, I think you'd get additional capacity in that. Like I said, the 55 is the absolute maximum. I've spoken in depth with a couple of engineers. They think that is an unsolvable mountain by the time you get down to it. It basically two lanes in, two lanes out of each other on, so capacity wise, you're not going to see a problem on that. Just one more thing, actually, I forgot to say while I was just that presentation. The other thing that's going to happen in terms of the works that are going to go on to Beacon Tower in terms of Hearthside Road, the widening of the footpaths. At the moment, as well, we're looking towards this part as the site does get developed. And you see more and more houses there. And I know Jeremy's talking about speeds for that. Generally speaking, when we put more junctions and additional movements on that junction, it will sound like we're changing its nature from being. Rather 40 going to a national speed limit country lane, as it gets more and more developed, it through more and more urban, so we'll adjust the speed limit to cooling the part that design. So I forgot to mention that.
Okay, proposed and seconded that we approve this application. Or please show. This is for the application. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Any against? I'm purely on the basis I don't like these type of applications, so I'm going to go against them. Scott? You're the same? Okay, thank you. So the majority is in favour of approval, and so the application for the access is given. Thank you. Right. Next item on the agenda involves the current Mrs. McPhill, so I will be vacating the chair. And we need to turn to.
I'll just turn it down before you leave the room.
Sorry, again.
I'll just turn it down before you leave the room, and then you can stay there.
Thank you, Chairman. This application is for the creation of cricket practice nets in the playing fields at Church Lane, Ipswich. This comprises of the laying of an all-weather artificial grass surface and a netted enclosure, 3.66 metres high and 22 metres in length, which is supported on galvanised steel posts and top rails. The site location is adjacent to the existing multi-use games area. As originally submitted, the proposal was adjacent to the west side of the multi-use games area. And that's what you'll see on the plan in the agenda. But following concern from highways, the proposal has been amended and it's now adjacent to the east side of the multi-use games area as shown on the screen. You'll see from the report that the proposal accords with the open space objectives of the Hickson Neighbourhood Plan, the Plan for Stafford Borough, and also the National Planning Policy Framework. There are no objections to the application, and it is recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed in the agenda. Just going through the images, you can see the location. So the red edge from Church Lane is an existing existing pedestrian entrance and footway, which you'll see on one of the photographs to the multi-use games area. The aerial photograph. There's six photographs in all. The first one is taken from the opposite side of Church Lane, looking towards the playing fields. As you'll see, there's after the pavement, there's a grass verge which slopes slightly upwards, and then there's a fairly thick hedge which screens the sides. Image 2 is taken from that grass verge, close to the entrance to the playing field, looking north towards the village. Image 3 is from the grass verge, looking at the two properties on the opposite side of Church Lane. These are the two properties that you can see on the location plan, Schoolhouse and Peter's Croft, I think it's called. They're the two that are opposite the site. Image 4 is looking across the multi-use games area towards the location of the proposal. So it would be almost adjacent to the fenced area just behind that. Image 5, this is looking north along the western edge of the multi-use games area. This is where the location was originally proposed, and you can see the existing footpath that I mentioned earlier, and it goes to the entrance onto Church Lane. And then finally, image 6, this is looking along that footpath towards the multi-use games area. You'll see at the end, at this end and the far end as well, there's higher fencing, lots of gold kind of structure as well. And to some extent, that will provide some screening from the multi-use games area. So that where you can see the extent of the fencing at the moment to the left, that would be where the multi-use games, where the cricket net structure starts. Which now takes us to plans. So this is a multiple plan, so you can see to the right with a red edge on it, that's the extent of the 22 metre structure, and then there's a further 6 metres of the all-weather surface. The top image, the top and the bottom look, top and the middle look fairly similar, but the top one is actually a plan view, i.e. looking down from above, and the one below that is an elevational view, which is if you look from the side. As I said earlier, 3.66 metres in height. And you can see there where the galvanised steel posts would be, 7 on each side. again, and then rails along the top that link them together, and then between all of that would be netting, netting on three sides. So, Chairman, the application is recommended for approval, subject to the conditions listed.
Thank you, John. We don't have any speakers in favour or objecting to this, so I'll open it up if anybody wants to comment on it. Jill?
Thank you, Chairman. I think this ticks all the boxes. There's absolutely no reason that I feel that we should use this. At a time when we've got so much bad press against youngsters, antisocial behaviour, and stuck to their phones and their tablets, etc., this is a wonderful facility for them to be outside. But please excuse me for being extremely dim. When we're talking about the cricket nets, are we talking about the sections that the youngsters, or whatever age, can actually practice bowl within those nets? Well, we are. That's
yes.
Okay.
I
was just a little bit concerned about the two houses and the netting. I wondered if somebody had come up with a high netting. In that case, as I say, this ticks all the boxes. I would like to propose that we pass this through.
I would approve that. I would second that.
Councillor Gareth Jones, second. All those in favour? I think that's unanimous there. I'll vacate the chair again. That's totally fine. So, the next item on the planning agenda is 28-35-957, Carfield Social Club, Barnes Road, Highfields. And Angela Loughran.
Thank you, Chairman. If you look in the paper, I did in actual fact call this in originally whenever the planning application was held all those years ago. I have not called it in since it was since it has been recently advertised, and no one has been in touch with me since this application has been made public. And I think therefore it would only be right for me to not participate in this tonight, because I haven't had any representations given to me, and I feel that I shouldn't really speak, because that call-in was actually all those years ago.
Yeah, the advice is that you should just step backwards,
yes,
if you could.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So, what page am I going to? Page 75. Ed, it's you again.
So this application came to the planning committee in November 2022. The committee at that time resolved to approve the application subject to a Y6 agreement. In the following 2.5 years, the Section 106 agreement has not been completed, and the applicant has now entered into administration. Consequently, in the absence of a Section 106 agreement, it is recommended that the application be refused. It should be noted, however, that there is another live application, another applicant for the development of this site. On to the presentation, the plan and aerial view show the location of the site, Barnes Road running to the west, and Burton Manor Village conservation area boundary generated by the tooth line to the east of the site. The allotments to the northeast, as you can see, Barnes Road running through the middle of the area. Four photographs are those that were presented to the committee in 2022, indicated on the plan. The first is the social club from as viewed from Baggett's Oak. Second, social club building from within the associated car park. The third, the adjacent allotments from the Social Club car park. And the fourth, a view of the opposite side of Barnes Road. The Social Club side is just off camera behind the trees on the right hand side. Plan one shows the site plan. And then plans 2 to 5 show the elevations and floor plans of the proposed buildings. The recommendation is that the application be refused on the basis that the applicant has not entered into a Section 106 agreement to secure the adequate provision for infrastructure needs arising from the proposed development or mitigation of likely impacts to the Kennet Chase special area of conservation via appropriate obligations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Anyone wish to discuss this at all? Councillor Bycross.
Yeah, this has come up before, I can remember it, and it is a rather dilapidated and run-down site. However, we do need housing of some sort, so as Ed says, that, did you say it's gone bust, the company that applied?
The applicant that submitted this application has entered into administration.
Right, then I feel we've no option but to support the officer's recommendation, and I'm happy to propose we accept the officer's recommendation.
Anyone want to speak or second that?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Councillor Scott Spencer. So the proposal is to go with the officer's recommendation to refuse on the grounds that we can't secure a Section 106 agreement. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So that's refused. Yes, we've got it through, haven't we? Yes, don't get ahead of yourself already. Okay, let's show of hands then, please. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm going to page 105 now for appeals. So just stop me when, if you want to. Page 105. 106 and 107. And then you have all. Sorry, Councillor Scott Spencer.
Apologies. It's the land off Stafford Road, Woods Eaves, appeal allowed. I'm not sure if this is the appropriate place to bring this up or not.
Put your microphone off.
Oh, sorry. I'm not sure if this is an appropriate place to bring this up or not. I've been approached by the residents of, in and around that application, and they're now saying to me that the second application has been submitted for further development of that site. Because this appeal has been allowed on this site, does that mean any subsequent application would be acceptable, as it goes to the same process? Presumably, it goes to the same process.
The site in question was for two houses, and it was immediately adjacent to the settlement boundary of the Seas. So, as you may recall, we no longer have a 5-year housing land supply, and therefore the policy that relates to the settlement boundaries is no longer consistent with the NPPF. So, as such, the inspector, quite as we expected in this case, found that there was the need for housing overrode any of the policies in there, basically. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that another application would be approved in the same way. It depends where it is, the scale of it, and things like that. And what we're going to get over the next 6 months, a year, something like that, you're going to get speculative housing applications in a variety of locations, some of which will be acceptable, some of which won't. It'll depend on the scale and the location, things like that. So I think it's difficult to generalise. That's probably how I put it.
Thank you. Thank you, John. So no more comments on appeals. Call the meeting to a halt.
I just noticed on page 123, the one at Droington that was committed to down has been approved, which is a shame because it's going to destroy a beautiful part of the country. And that, I think that's the start of many applications of this nature that we're going to get covering half of our borough, and it does worry me.
Thank you. More coming down the line. So thank you very much. There's no planning committee, we don't think, in May. So in the words of Neil Sedaka, this will be our last song together. Words will only make us cry. So I'll hand over to whoever is the next chairman of planning.
That's on the 15th of May, the council,
with
At this point in time, we only have enforcement reports. We don't have any planning applications for that meeting, so it's almost certainly will be, yes.
Tony Nixon.
I think we ought to thank Brendan for his work as chairman during his time. I think he's done an excellent job.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Due respect, Chairman, and Mr. Deputy Chair, I think it depends on whether there's any drinks
yet. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.